good evening. My name is Tugani, and I'm an alcoholic. Usually Sunday evenings, what I do is have supper and watch the BBC, and then watch the American news, watch 60 minutes, and then go to sleep. You see? But this is different. You know, it is amazing what the strange turns and twists of life. And I'm always surprised by what happens to me. I spoke this morning. I believe I'm a much better speaker, and I am more dynamic and more awake in the morning. In other words, I'm a morning person. And I spoke this morning at Brewery Mission, you know, the Wake Up Brewery. And that one was also a bit half unexpected. And the reason I'm telling you is that it's a strange twist, in the sense that days, months go by when I don't have to speak, when nobody asks me, when I have nothing to say. And then days like this happen, when I have to speak. This is a record. Twice in the same day. And believe it or not, there are times when I have nothing to say. And I wish that when I had nothing to say, I wish that I had the courage, I would have the courage to say, sorry folks, I have nothing to say, and sit down. I remember one time going, I think all day almost, I was watching pornographic movies. And then I went to an AA meeting where I was supposed to speak. So I sat down and I looked at them, and they looked at me, and I was totally at loss for words. And then I said, what shall I speak about? And then someone sitting across from me spoke right out at me, said, talk about sex. Very interesting. So you see, I didn't have the courage then to tell the audience, yes, let's talk about sex. I was watching porno movies, smoking pot all day, and beating my meat like an egg. But I didn't have the courage to do that. You see? Now, in case I forgot, this is not, sex perverts and anonymous. This is Alcoholic Anonymous. My name is Tugane. So, I did not plan to talk about the twists and the turns that I was speaking about earlier, how life is strange. I never planned in my life to become an alcoholic. You know, when my parents ask me, what are you going to do when you grow up? Dad, I want to become an alcoholic. No, it didn't happen that way. Very early in my life, you know, there are hints. You know, it's funny, I have some kind of a sense, but I don't pay attention too much because it's spooky. You see? So I don't dwell on it, but sometimes I wish I would pay attention. Well, to give you an example, a small boy with his dad, walking with my dad downtown Mogadishu, the capital city of Somalia where I was born. We look, crowds around, We go, we look, what do we see? A man being stoned. Helpless man. Trying to get up. A drunk. I'm pegging at my father's hand. And I'm saying, Dad, why doesn't somebody do something? Stop this. See, this is a Muslim country where I was born. So they believe that a drunk should be whipped and stoned. That's what they believe. That's what happens when you are ignorant and dumb. So I was moved, filled with compassion for this man. I looked at my dad, I said, Dad, what's going on? And he said, Son, you see, let this be a lesson to you. This man is a Somali. We Somalis drink camel's milk, the milk from the camel. And the camel milk comes into all, you know, into all kinds of varieties. It's fresh, it's sour, it is really, really sour. You know, you get the idea. And he said, this is what we drink. We're camel boys. Not cowboys, camel boys. And camel jockeys is what they call us. So he said, look, so we drink this camel's milk, but if one of us is stupid enough, so full of sin, as to drink what the white man drinks, crazy water. It's funny, yeah, the Indians call it crazy water because it makes you crazy, and it's true. He said, that's what happens. And you see, in his limited way, because they don't understand alcoholism, they think it's sin. In his limited way, he was trying to explain to me, okay, look, the reason he's like that is because, he said, have you ever seen, we never see an Italian. We used to be in an Italian colony, so there were a lot of Italians. He said, have you ever seen an Italian falling down drunk, pissing and pooping in his pants at high noon? No! He said that is because his father drank, his grandfather drank, his great-grandfather drank. It is in his blood. That is why it's okay. But if that Italian takes camel milk, he pees and poops in his pants. So don't you touch now alcohol. Because that was going to happen to you. And I remember in that city, Mogadishu, cosmopolitan city, I remember the alcoholics formed a cult. They had their own colony under the rocks, near, you know, in the caves of the Indian Ocean. That is where they would boil, you know, what is the rubbing alcohol with lemon or whatever, and that's where they would stay. Because they knew if they ventured downtown, what would happen to them? So you see, why was this imprinted in my head? This drunk, this helpless man. I am sure now, you know, I forgot who it was, because I read a lot. You see, when you read a lot, you forget a lot. I forgot, but I read somewhere that life is lived forward, but understood backward. So now when I look back and see that little boy, that drunk, that was, as far as I'm concerned, that was God telling me. You see? This is maybe where you are going. You will become an alcoholic. But I didn't pay any attention. In fact, when I grew up, you know, as far as I was concerned, to drink was a mark of sophistication. If you are civilized, you drank. Most people drank camel's milk. You see, real civilized people smoked camel and drank Heineken or whatever. When I was barely literate, in English, that is, I went to a missionary school run and staffed by Canadian missionaries, Mennonite missionaries. And it's very strange. This morning when I talked, I said, this is what reminds me. You know, the chairs. I'm sure the chairs came from Canada because they are exactly the same chairs. You see? When I was learning English. Well, that day that I'm going to tell you about was a day when I was in the director's house. The guy who ran the place, our principal. I could barely read. I took a book out in his library. And I remember the title of the book very clearly. I read, I looked at the title, I didn't know what the title. One word title. A book with a one word title. The word was unshackled. Unshackled. So I said, you know, what does this mean? My vocabulary of the English language was very limited. So they explained to me, unshackled means set free. So I became curious. How did these people, why were they set free? Who enslaved them? And what do I find out? By struggling through the book. See, there's no TV. There's no TV. You read to entertain yourself. See? That is why I was able, in the bush, in the jungle of Africa, I just finished 8th grade, and I was able to go to college. Because here in high school, you don't learn anything. You learn to dance or what? I don't know what you learn in high school here. But in the jungle, there's no TV, so you read. I read this book in the bush. We don't have a jungle in Somalia, I'm exaggerating. It's a semi-desert place, but in the bush. So I read the book, Unshackled. What is it about? Imprinted on my head. Alcoholics like you and me. In Chicago. They go, and you know, that's why I told the story in the brewery mission. Because they would go to a place like that, the brewery mission. The down and out, the skid row people. The homeless. Now we call them homeless. The drunks, like us, would go there. The drunks refer to that place as John 3:16. You know John 3:16, it's in the Bible. But those days, you know, John, for God so loved the world, you know, I can quote the Bible too because I'm supposed to be a Muslim. But I know the Torah and I know the gospel. Because I believe, the only God I believe is the God that we worship right here. Is the God that is present right here. That is the real God. And the biggest joy I had in my life was when I gave a desire chip to a Jew wearing a yarmulke, and I was wearing my Muslim hat, and they are killing each other now all over the world. And here were two brothers. One brought up a Muslim, one brought up Jewish. Now that's the best religion in the world. That's the one we got here. You see? So unshackled is about those people who became free. They were shackled to alcohol. The reason I'm here tonight is very simple. You know, I'm a creature of habit. Habit is very strong. The temptation was to just stay at home and watch 60 minutes, take it easy. But then I remember where I got unshackled, right here. You unshackled me. You know, you go to a doctor, you go to a psychologist, I went to a psychiatrist, I went to a mullah, Muslim mullah, I went to a priest, you name it. Trying to figure out, you know, why was I doing this? Why was I drinking? So crazy. They couldn't help me. Despite their PhDs shining from the walls, they couldn't do anything about it. Now that's the miracle. But how does it happen? How does it happen that these so-called PhDs, men of God, whatever you want to call them, you know, are of no help? And here I am, I'm looking at you and you are looking back at me, two alcoholics. Looking at each other, can't bullshit each other. No PhDs, which means bullshit, piled higher deep. Looking at each other, being honest with each other, and we get it, just like that. I got it. You unshackled me. You freed me. And I owe you a debt. What I owe you is to help you. So I can help myself. Because in doing this, believe me, In doing this, I'm helping myself. In being honest, this program, absolute honesty, the more you see, you hear here a lot of things. And I've been coming to these meetings for 22 years. November 22, 2004, it was going to be 22, because I quit drinking November 22, 1982. You figure it out. It's 22 years, I think. Okay? I'm telling you that because, well, first of all, I have to admit, I have to be honest, that's a hell of a long time. With 22 years, you can get 3 PhDs or 4 PhDs. And I keep wondering, when the hell am I going to graduate from this? Just keep coming back. It's like Hotel California. You check in, but you can't check out. You got to stay in. I will tell you something else. There is a story that I read which moved me very much. And this story, I read it in a translation by Coleman. And it's a translation of the Sufi, Jalaluddin Rumi. And in that story that I remember, it's about this bum who gets a job in the Sultan's palace. The Sultan gives him a job as a garbage man, whatever, the lowest job you can get. And then, lo and behold, he is there. He becomes a vizier. Now, vizier is an Arabic word. If you looked it up in the dictionary, you will find it. It's also an English word. V-I-Z-I-E-R. Originally Arab. And you will find out what it means. It's prime minister. He became the counselor. And the king told him, look, you know I am king because I was born a king. My father was a king. But if it depended on merit, on wisdom, you would be the king. Because you are wiser than me. I need you to advise me. That's why you are my right-hand man, up there. Now this man, the king was checking on this. His spies were checking on this guy. Because, you know, this guy is from the wrong track. What is it? The wrong side of the tracks. So the king saw that this guy has a habit of disappearing once in a while. Somewhere into the palace. And they want to know, what the hell is he doing there in the palace? Hiding somewhere in the palace. So they follow, the king follows him. There's a room, they open the door, and the guy is there weeping and praying. And he's clutching a coat, a very filthy, evil-smelling, dirty coat. And he tells the Sultan, he says, look, when you gave me the job, this is the coat I was wearing. I never ever want to forget where I came from, how I stank, how I smelled. Brothers and sisters, that is why I come here, to remember where I come from, what I was, where I was. You see? That is why I am here, to remember. It's easy to forget, especially if you are a Canadian, and by now I'm a Canadian, fat and forgetful Canadian, uncomfortable. You see? You don't know where you came from. I was a falling down drunk. Now I am yelling. I am shouting. You should have seen me when I came into AA 22 years ago. I couldn't say anything. I couldn't say boo. You couldn't hear me. I remember, after being sober for 1 week, I remember that I had a son in the city. And I was with that son, like every good father should be with his son. Except, you know, did that, what is it, that did that, don't do that. Well, I decided not to be that weak. You know, when you become sober, you begin to think. You know, those slogans are great. Where are they? You think. I thought, oh, I have a son. I am holding his hand downtown somewhere in Prince Arthur and, you know, Carrie St. Louis. And I tell myself, I said, Dylan, do you know that I haven't had a drink for a week? He looks at me and he says, Daddy, I know. You know? He's 9 years old now. He's now 30. I said, Dylan, I haven't drunk for a week. Who told you? I never told anybody. He said, Daddy, three things tell me. Three things. Yes, you never told me. And I believe you never told anybody. But now I know that you haven't drunk for a week. And I know because of three reasons. So what are they? He said, you know when I talk to you, see I was separated from his mother. Because that's what alcohol does. You know, alcoholism, our disease, separates you from everything. Not only the money, but all those we love. It's a great separator. So he said, you call, you talk to my mother, you told her you were going to come and pick me up, and then you talk to me. And lo and behold, I understood. Despite your funny African accent, I understood what you said. See, my son was born here, so he's a Canadian like you guys. And he talks like you guys. So he said, you know, despite your African accent, I understood every word. But I said, Dylan, before, didn't I speak English to you? I never spoke to you in Somali. He said, well, he said, you grunted like a pig. So when you spoke so well, and I understood, I said something, that is of the source. He said, the second thing that tells me is that you were on time. You were early. He said, usually, you know, you are on black people's time, or whatever they call it. And you never show up. Or you are always, what is it, a day late and dollar short, or whatever, you know. But this time, you were on time. Now I'm saying, God damn, inside, I'm saying, hey, I thought I was keeping this thing secret. I thought nobody knew that I was a fallen down drunk. 9 year old telling me this, on my case. He said the third reason. I'm now all curious. Daddy. See, I said daddy because in my language we, you know, your son, you call your son daddy. The title is reciprocal. You know, here you say sonny. But in my culture we say daddy and the boy calls me daddy. So if two Somalis are talking on the phone, you don't know who the hell is the father, you know, or who is the son. But I said, okay, sonny. You know, I said, son, tell me the third reason. He said, the third reason is very easy. Daddy, he said, now you would rather be with me than those bums. And he pointed to the bums that I used to drink with under the trees of Carrie St. Louis. You know, St. Catherine, and what is it, St. Denis and Prince Arthur. He said, now you want to be with me rather than with the bums. I'm boozing it up. When do you guys get out of here? Because, you know, I don't want to preach all night. What is it? 9 o'clock? 9? Is that it? 9, all right. Well, I'll try to cut it short before 9. Anyway, you see, as I was saying, 22 years is a long time. November, what is it there? November 2282. So I learned a lot of things. But I must admit to you, I must tell you, that many times things just went, well, I'll give you an example, the steps. I keep here, these are suggested, and these are the 12 suggested steps. So to me, suggested meant, they go in one ear, and they go out of the other ear. See, that's why I ended up watching pornography. Because, you know, the steps are, you know, that's why I became lustaholic. You know, not only chocolate, what is it, the chocolateaholic or alcoholic or whatever. Someone was telling me, what is it, he's a tri-alcoholic. You know, he becomes what is it, addicted to everything he tries. Now, the steps, I cannot emphasize the importance. The steps are what kept me sober for 22 years. I'm not going to bullshit you and tell you that I told you many. Those 22 years, there were days, months, you see, that I was just dry. Because I didn't take this seriously. But thank God I kept coming back. You know, believe me, if I would put half the effort, quarter of the effort, into sobriety that I had put in being an alcoholic. Raging, raving, ranting alcoholic. By now I would be saint. I'm serious. So, you know, when they say you got to work this, it's true. Thank God I haven't had a slip. And then I think I have a phenomenal memory. I remember things. At least that's how I flatter myself. And I understood. I hear people reading the promises. You see, these promises are true. I believe you. I believe you. I have never, all those 22 years, I have never, you know how critical I am. I have never found anything that I can say, this is a lie they taught me, or they told me, or this is a lie I heard in AA. But you see, you got to work. You got to work these steps. And they are great. It is not in the old, somewhere in the Old Testament, it says, it is not for a man who walks, it's not within a man who walks to direct his steps. That is why the steps are necessary. Okay? Now, I talk about God. To me, I told you who my God is. I was brought up a Muslim, a tribal God, a Somali God. Then the Mennonites got hold of me and there was a Christian God. Okay? There are all kinds of gods out there. And I told you, the only God I believe in is the God that is right here. Right here. Where is God? God is where there is love. I feel love here. God is where there is acceptance. I feel accepted here. God is where there is freedom. I feel free here. I became unshackled here. That is where I know there is God here. I go to church now sometimes. This morning I was in church. I go there to show off my hat. You see, I have beautiful hats. See, that's what happens. You know, when you become bald like me, you wear hats. I have lots of hats. I have a Muslim hat. I have a Yomalka. Or how you pronounce it, I have a Sikh hat, you name it. I even have a hat from Indonesia, Bali. I have a Vietnamese hat. You should see my collection. I have a cowboy hat. So when I go to church, that's what I go to church for. But I come here. Here I learn to be honest. And believe me, it's not easy to be honest. Especially someone who is an expert, like me. A con artist, a bullshitter, like me. I have had a great practice in being dishonest. Why? Because I practice on myself. See, if I want to fool you, if I want to lie to you, first I've got to lie to myself and believe my lies. And then I'm perfect. Then I am a master of the game. I know how to bullshit. Because, you know, I bullshit myself. I have to unlearn that. I learned here, you are as sick as you are secret. And it's true. You see? I'm grateful. That is why I'm yelling. Just to let you know how grateful I am. I got to let you know. When a man is yelling, something is making him yell. What's making me yell is to tell you how much I love you. Because here, I was accepted. I was understood. And it's very funny. You know, it's magical. What we got here is magic. And I don't understand it. It's difficult to understand the spirituality. I mean, you understand it, but I mean to really grasp it. You just see. It's like the wind. You know, you don't see the wind, but you sure do feel it. Okay? You feel the effect of it. That's what happened to me here. You see? I felt your acceptance. I felt your love. As I said, there was no bullshit. Someone like I am doing now got up and told the story.
about himself. And that story, I identified myself. I identified with that story. I said to myself, Holy Christ, I am not as weird as I thought I was. Look at him. I'm like that man. I'm like that woman.
You know, I come from a very traditional, primitive society, as I told you. Muslim. My father had many wives. Muslim. I come from a large family of 30. You see? See what happens when you become a Canadian now? I only have one kid. From 30 to one kid in one generation, not bad. You wise up. The reason I'm telling you is that because my father was a very difficult man, very harsh, very hard. And I will never forget. I will never forget. I saw my father weeping one day, crying. And I made him cry. This proud, strong man, patriarch, never saw him crying, but this time he's crying. And he's telling me, son, I wish I had never sent you to school. I wish I had kept you stupid, primitive, in the bush. I wish I had never sent you to that Canadian school, to those white people. Why? Because now you became like them. You are a drunk. Because in his limited mind, he thought that by when I left that world, the world of Islam, the world of the bush, the world of whatever you call it, the tribal world, you see? And I discovered, you know, the horizons, this world. He thought that was dangerous. And it's true. You know, we all like to be protective of our children. We hold on to them. We don't want to let them go. But one day the time comes when they have to go and face the world themselves. Now the reason I am telling you is that I wanted to stop so badly. I wanted to stop drinking for the sake of my father. I wanted to stop drinking so badly for the sake of my mother. I wanted so bad to stop drinking for the sake of my son. I couldn't. And then I come here and you make me stop. Now how's that? How does that work? Again, it's because here I am understood. Eh means absolute approval. You see? One, only if I have, you know, the only condition we have, you don't have to be a nigger or a honky to join here, to come here. You know, all you gotta be is to have one desire, the desire to stop drinking. That's it. I am grateful to you. I am grateful that you unshackled me. Thank you very much.